Right, so after a bit of a sabbatical, mainly because of Joel, we're back on Midnight FPL, where we're going to be discussing not too much fancy about recent news that's come out about European Super League, Jose Mourinho's sacking, and maybe if we have some time at the end, we'll do some lighthearted differentials all today on Midnight FPL. So we're planning our first podcast in a while. We're going to discuss my wild card, triple captain Kane. But news has come up that is probably more significant than my fantasy team. But that's debatable. But what do you boys think?
It's pretty shocking, but I think as fans of the culprits, you should probably answer for it.
I'm kind of hoping Chelsea are going to be the first team to back down, but I think that's a bit optimistic because I assume
I think Chelsea are pretty behind it. I think it's more Man City that were the team that was like on the back foot about it and didn't want to join. There was talk like ever since sort of the ideas came up that Man City were the English club that was being offered the chance. They were the English club that was the most sort of standoffish about the situation, and wanted to stay true to the tradition of English football, which obviously you don't.
the thing is, I'm not going to sit like the reality is, if you Fulham are in the top six, they're not. They're seriously dreadful, as we saw the last minute goal by Eddie Nketiah. They would sign up for it as well. Like, if like, so Edward or whatever, Stan Kroenke, they're all on the board of it. If everyone was doing it, like Chelsea, I mean, like Fulham will do it, but that's because they're run by an American, so he can't. The whole thing is so Americanized, and
Yeah,
it's like,
you're completely right. I was watching the news earlier, and there was a Scottish sports correspondent for Sky News on the news saying how Celtic and Rangers aren't in it, and how happy the fans are that they weren't a part of it. But saying that's just because they weren't offered it. Of course, Celtic and Rangers would have joined because it would make that league like something like the NBA, for example. Players and future players only care about getting in the NBA. They don't necessarily talk about a particular team. So it would be like if you get into the European Super League, players just want to be in it. They don't care if they're at Rangers, if they're in it. They don't care if they're at Barcelona. They just want to get in there, and then they've sort of made it. That's what it would become. Then every other league would be sort of just getting a process of getting to that league. So they wouldn't matter anymore.
yeah. So just to clarify, the European Super League would run alongside, in theory, unless we got beat today, run alongside the Premier League. So
Yeah,
all other.
but that can't happen because the Premier League, for that to be allowed, the Premier League have to give permission or they have to leave the Premier League. And the Premier League aren't going to give permission, so they'll have to leave the Premier League. So in reality, it would just be on its own and they'd be expelled from all UEFA competitions as well.
But the reality of it is that that will never happen. So my whole argument this whole time has been it's awful, it just won't happen. It's obviously is horrific, but I think it's they've been the Premier League clubs hate the Champions League format, as do all the big clubs. Like, it doesn't become relevant until the quarterfinals, basically. They have this long drawn out midweek fixtures where they have to go to Carabao or something for a game they know they're going to win, and basically they've wanted reform in ages. They've got bored, and also there's that argument as well that UEFA don't share the money properly, considering how much money the Champions League generates, that they sit on a load of it. And they have basically got bored of it and are using this to basically strengthen their negotiating hand with UEFA. And it's backfired massively. But I can't see it ever happening. It doesn't logistically work and it's just absurd. But yeah, everyone comes across badly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it looks pretty awful. One of the things I really hate about it as well is you can obviously see how much the fans are hating this. If fans were in stadiums, apparently there was this thing about one of the directors of one of these clubs, one of the English clubs, saying that they knew that the fans were going to react like this and they prepared for it and they prepared for the whole backlash. So if the fans are in stadiums, that noise is going to be so much louder. It's going to be so much more damaging to the cause. And we've heard talk of the European Super League for maybe like a decade now, and it's happened now when fans aren't in stadiums. I find that's one of the most disgusting things about it.
Yeah, I think the issue of whether it happens, whether it doesn't, is one thing, but it just kind of like highlights this kind of like really corrupt just like mentality within the top clubs, which is not what you want to see within football. And like, we're all hoping it doesn't happen and all this kind of stuff. It's like the fact that they even thought it was a good idea, even if it is just like a move to try and like get the Champions League or reformed, there's still just like such a poor way of doing it. And it just reflects incredibly, incredibly badly of everyone involved. So it's a shame. I actually think it's a shame for Chelsea to be part of it and to kind of like associate with that. But to be honest, like, it's not surprising from Chelsea. Like, Abramovich has always been the like dodgy guy. I think we like him because he wins us trophies, but he doesn't have much of a moral compass within football, I wouldn't say. Like, he's just always been about money. And yeah, it's a shame. I do hope it all gets sorted out.
I mean, these people who own these clubs are just like morally vacuous. They don't actually care about football.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising. And like them showing disdain for fans is systematic of the way in which everything they do, from ticket pricing to like, let's say Sky Sports pay-per-view they all voted for, and we had to pay 15 quid away to watch West Brom versus Burnley. They don't care about the fans. So when they do something like this, it literally doesn't, I don't bat an eyelid. Like, when they show disdain or when they do something that's immensely selfish, it's like, that is what these people are. So it's hardly surprising.
It was always, if you actually think about it, it was always going to happen. And it's actually not that sad that it has happened. So, obviously it is sad that it happened, but it's like, no one's that shocked about it.
I just feel like it's crazy, like, thinking about it. I think, personally, this is intuitively, when you think about it, you think intuitively this is going to damage football. And it's just amazing that the arrogance to just sort of think, us 12 are just going to make football ours, and turn the back on not just everything else in football, going, I know it's so cliche, but going all the way down to grassroots. And not just that, but the whole history of football, everything to do with it, will just be thrown back down the toilet, because none of it will matter just for the sake of these 12 clubs. It's just beyond my belief. And another annoying thing is that they keep talking about how things like grassroots are going to be fine, and the Football League, for example, and Premier League will all be fine because a certain amount of this money, I think it was like 8% was the stat, 8% of this is going to be going down to the football pyramid, they call it. But I just think they get it so wrong in the interpretation of what matters to football fans. Because like 10 years ago, I think maybe when this started coming about, when I was like a 13-year-old Fulham fan, we were getting to the Europa League final, I was like, Fulham could actually make something here. We could actually become like a reasonably big club, like a successful club. But you laugh because it's true. It's ridiculous for me to think that. But literally every football fan hopes and prays that will happen to their club. It's not just me, it's everyone in the world. We look at this and we think, oh my God, this is going to be... And that's my 13-year-old intuitive mind thinking that. And they've just taken this whole thing away from us because there's no dream anymore. Like, the dream is just completely ripped away from all those football fans because nothing they're capable of achieving could ever happen. So it's not about money, because the money doesn't matter. You only use the money in pursuit of the dream. And we take away the dream, the money doesn't matter. So this 8% is completely irrelevant, because those leagues and everything else in football doesn't matter. It's only about the ESL. Like, it's all about the NBA. It's literally all about the ESL.
To arbitrarily choose six teams as well based on who's the top six teams right now, when 20-30 years ago that'd be Nottingham Forest and Aston Villa, and then before that it would be, I don't know, Wolves and whoever, Sheffield Wednesday, I don't know.
Blackburn Rovers were good as well for a bit.
But to specifically say at this point in time, and it's not even the best six teams, Arsenal being in there is kind of the whole thing is so irrelevant, because Arsenal being part of that. But I mean, that is just ridiculous. They're just worse.
Tottenham are worse, though. Tottenham are worse. They've never won a Premier League.
They've not won a major
team
trophy in
6 years. It's never won its own domestic title. And it's in the European Super League. This is just completely beyond comprehension that could actually happen.
This is the thing, is that I think there are obviously like issues going on within football and whatever, but there is no way in any world that this is the answer. It's just not. It doesn't sort anything out. It makes everything worse. And yeah, I think you kind of lose, like, if this has happened, like, it doesn't enable things like the Leicester story to potentially happen again.
Exactly. It rips the soul from football.
Exactly. And Leicester winning the Premier League is probably one of the best stories in football. And by not allowing that to be possible again, I just think is sad, really.
Yeah.
I can't get that emotional and angry about it because I just don't think it will happen. Like, the response has been so strong and defiant from fans, from UEFA with the potentially removing Real Madrid, Chelsea and City from it. Like, it can't conceivably happen.
Yeah.
But I mean, I completely agree with you, but it's more like the insult and the disrespect for the whole of football.
That's the point I'm making, is like,
that's the enragement.
Like, my enragement, like, is that, like, my inability to get that angry about it is, one, I don't think it will happen, and two, like, the top six clubs will come across as awful and morally vacuous. Like, that's not, and then I already knew the second one, and the first one won't in theory, like,
but this is gonna adversely affect your club.
My club's image, yeah, but I mean, fuck, Chelsea Football Club run by Roman Abramovich, I mean, some of the things that he's done, yeah, and the way in which he operates, like, horrific. I mean, like, yeah. You can barely scratch the surface of trying to start a European Super League. I mean, like, that's, like...
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. I just almost become apathetic because... And, like, with VAR... Like, VAR, like, no fan likes it, but it exists and it ruins our game because it creates a better commercial product for people overseas because they want that accuracy, whereas no fan who goes to a stadium likes it, but they just ignore that because they don't care about match-going fans. They make... charge absurd amount of money for people and price out the core fans that used to build that club up. Like, nothing they do would surprise me at all.
I don't know if I agree with the VAR thing. I think it doesn't benefit the game, but I don't know. I don't think they did it because, like, to satisfy American fans, for example. I just think they did it because, you know, fans sort of get fed up of just having the wrong decision. Thought it would be run better.
And no fan goes into
it was run. No one could sort of expect VAR to have been this much of a failure. Getting the right decision to be this much of a failure.
I think the discrepancy between match going fans. I've been at, like, Chelsea games where it's like 4 minutes to come up with, like, you have no idea what's going on. They don't even put it on the screen. They don't care what you think. It's just
you
don't care. But then, because we're only 40,000 or whatever in Stamford Bridge, compared to the millions who watch it at home who are involved in the decision, like, it's just.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's a reason. I mean, it's not like they play the game on the screen while you're watching it in the stadium.
I sat there with absolutely no idea what's going on. I mean, this is such a tangent, but, like, VAR was when I began to become, like it ruined games I go to, and no one likes it, but it stays. So
it's horrible.
It shows they don't care. It's tough to talk about this because we all agree it's awful. Gary Neville has articulated his point better than we could, so it's quite hard to, like, hit a nail on the head. But
I think one thing that I'd really like to see in football is this thing that Gary Neville and David Bernstein are doing. They're trying to promote the idea of a regulator in football. I think that's so necessary. If there's any industry that needs it, I think it's football.
Yeah,
yeah, sure. Because even UEFA used to be bent, or probably still is, like, with the... or still is, or whatever. So it's like they can't be on the moral high horse.
Yeah, this is what's annoying me a bit.
Yeah, that is. I thought about that as well. It's so frustrating. The moral high ground they have, and they should never have it. The whole organisation should be disbanded. But we need them right now.
UEFA and FIFA are just, like, utterly corrupt and have been awful in that. And they're trying to be, like, these, like, morally superior. Like, the whole thing's awful. But yeah, greed trumps everything. Anyway, let's talk about something, because this is so boring and I hate it. So let's talk about, firstly, Jose's gone, which actually makes me sad. Deep down, really like Mourinho.
Yeah, but he's been past it for a very long time. He's not a top manager anymore.
I don't know if that's true. I just sort of think that he comes with a lot of baggage these days. I don't know if his methods are any different. I really doubt that they are. I just think a lot of people have preconceptions about him now, and you know, he's often brought in the middle of a season to rescue it. It's just sort of, it's not really his sort of job to walk into the Tottenham one, middle of the season, not a great side, sixth place or something. Like, in the past, he's moved into the best clubs in the world, mostly at their prime.
He won a Champions League with Porto and Inter Milan. Like, he doesn't... The thing with Mourinho, and this is the point that, like, someone made to me, and it's like, it's about... I don't think Mourinho's changed. It's just that players have changed. Like, his tactics, he had that strong core of Lampard, Drogba, Terry, players you, like, worked hard. And you don't want to be like that. Classic, your players have gone soft. But I just don't think his tactics work on the modern-day player, and I didn't, which is a shame.
Yeah, because I agree.
I think it works on someone like Harry Kane, by the looks of it, and he seems to really like Mourinho. But, like, certain players just don't buy into it and don't like the way in which...
It's just players that I just feel like Mourinho works better with players that are prepared to really commit themselves. I think that's probably why you have players like Pogba not liking him, because you can completely imagine Pogba being a player that doesn't really commit himself.
Yeah, you get like Mourinho is not going to walk into a club like Man United and kind of like treat Pogba like some special little kid. Mourinho is going to tell it to him how it is, and Pogba's going to be like, "Oh, I don't enjoy that," and kick the fuss. And tell his agent he wants to move out because he wants somewhere new. And it's the same kind of like Spurs. I feel like, because the thing is, I think Spurs have good enough players to be doing a lot better than they are. When you've got people like Kane, Son, Højbjerg, Reguilón, Lloris is probably past it. And
it's just Kane and Son. Can I, like Højbjerg, Reguilón, all good like pieces, like all right players. They've got two world-class players in Kane and Son, and the teams around...
That's more than Chelsea have.
Yeah, legit. Like
Tottenham have more world-class players than Chelsea have.
I think Kane and Son are...
Mason Mount, Thiago Silva, like...
No. Thiago Silva at 36 is not a world-class player.
Even like Kante is the only world-class
you
player.
Have, I think the only world-class player that... Maybe world class, maybe on the brink, is probably Mason Mount. I'd say that's it.
Who? I think Kante's one.
Wow, this is a you finally.
Louis, you know I like Mason Mount. As a footballer, I think he's a great footballer, and I've said this. I've said he's a great footballer, and I just don't like him because he's a Chelsea player and he fucked Fulham that time. But you don't watch football if you think Mason Mount's a bad player. I completely agree with that. But the thing is, I've never thought Mason Mount was a bad player. Like, before that Fulham game, I was like, Mason Mount is so good. Completely backed him for England after it happened. But I was happy to keep up the act. I do think he's got less talent than Grealish, but I wouldn't be devastated to see him starting for England because I rely on him more. You can rely on Mason Mount more than you can rely on Grealish, I think.
How can you... England should play Jack Grealish at left wing. Like, how can you, when I watch Rashford and Sterling play, credibly think that they...
Yeah, Sterling is shit. Really shit. I honestly wouldn't take him to the Euros. And I think... I'm just gonna put this in here because I know the listeners love FPL and it's relevant to this. Greenwood should be your differential, I think, going forward. 2.3% ownership looks unreal. Take Greenwood. People say at Man United, he's the best finisher at the club. He is such a promising player. He's going to score more goals than Raheem Sterling is if he's given the same amount of minutes. I really think that's a fact. You give them the same amount of minutes, Greenwood scores more goals. Get rid of Sterling, new generation. Put Grealish on the left. Maybe Greenwood, maybe Rashford, maybe Sancho on the right. Doesn't really matter. Have Mason Mount in midfield with, I don't know, Rice and Henderson. Why don't you do that?
The thing is, Sterling...
You think Sterling makes the team better?
No, I've said he's rubbish for a long time now. And we all know that. We all know once that happens that it's fact. So
I said that. Old head's not in this at all. The best game, the best, like, Foden versus Sterling is like a case of Pep Guardiola sees his players week in, week out. And when City have a big game, he starts Foden over Sterling. So why wouldn't we, as England, do the same, I guess?
Yeah, well, I guess that's only sort of come about in maybe the last month or two. So we haven't properly had, and obviously Gareth Southgate needs a little bit longer to realise people are shit, like still playing Pickford. So we've got to allow him that stupidity period that he needs. But hopefully by the time of the Euros, if it actually happens, you know, I mean, it's not necessary, it doesn't have necessarily have to be Foden because Grealish is that good. But I really don't want to see Sterling on that left. He is bad. Yeah. He is bad. Like, think of him the other day against Chelsea. Did he play against Chelsea? I think he did. The one I watched.
Yeah, shut up, yeah.
I think it was Chelsea. He was bad in that game.
Bad against Leeds when I bought him in and captained him. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah, and I captained him earlier in the season when he had a double game week. And everyone else went with a single game week. And I thought I was in with money. But, like, he got 12 points maybe from a captain over two game weeks. Got one
someone,
assist.
When they're your captain, you watch them so much close, like more closely.
And yeah. And you realise how shit they are.
Frustrated. He's losing the ball constantly.
It's horrific, captaining Sterling. Never do it.
Can I make a point? Joel, I want your opinion on this.
Yeah.
Sacking Jose probably does make sense, but why are they doing it when they've got a cup final on Saturday and making Ryan Mason the manager?
Because I thought that they thought that they were definitely not going to win it with him. And I think they have more of a chance of winning it without him. Just because sacking a manager always creates a reaction within the dressing room.
I think I completely agree with what Louis said on the chat earlier, that Jose's looked at this and thought, you know, I could win this weekend. I might not win. I probably won't win. I'm probably going to lose my job pretty soon, the way things are going, what people are saying. And he's got this ESL thing and he can leave on a point of principle and sort of, you know, make a big thing about the ESL thing, say, I'm not going to keep managing this club if we continue doing this. It's not what I believe in football. And they get to a point where they can't work together. So it looks like a sacking now, but at some stage, Mourinho will come out and say, didn't believe in the ESL thing. So he got sacked on a point of principle than actually the performance of his team.
Yeah, but Fabrizio Romano said that that didn't happen. So
no, but Mourinho, the point, Sam's making the point that Mourinho can claim that that's what happened.
Either, no, because that doesn't answer the why they sacked him on the week of the Carabao Cup final, unless Mourinho actually did go out on his sword.
If you think about it, something big has had to have happened. Like, you wouldn't sack, you just wouldn't. You would have sacked him a week, 2 weeks ago. He's been bad enough for that amount of time. If you thought he's got to go, you would have thought that earlier than the week of the cup final.
Yeah, but they're not going to win that. They were not going to win the League Cup when he was in charge.
No, I don't agree with that at all.
They've got a really good chance of doing it when he's in charge. He's a winner.
He's a winner. And also, if you watch Man City play against us, they're completely cooked, aren't they, realistically? And they rotate their team way too much. They're a good team in the league because they've got ridiculous depth. But the reason that they struggle in cups is they don't know what their best team is and they rotate too much. So in a big game, they're so susceptible because they don't have like an inbuilt structure. KDB is going to be out for it probably as well. Like, Jose's got the better of Pep enough times. I was really thinking Tottenham could win it.
Yeah. What's pretty funny about it is Tottenham, obviously, they're the losers of the Big Six. And the week that they could finally win their first major trophy in like 10 years, they sacked the only thing that's won anything at Tottenham Hotspur for about 10 years.
Yeah, what's he won at Tottenham Hotspur?
No, as in the only winner that's ever been at Tottenham Hotspur for like the last 10 years, they've got rid of on the week of their first major final for however many years.
Joel is right, though, that new manager bounce, or like there's always seems to be a reaction when someone gets sacked.
Who was it recently in the Prem?
Lampard?
Say again?
Lampard?
No, I thought maybe it would happen with Sheffield. Sheffield have proven to be the exception to a lot of things. But I thought, oh, maybe with Wilder gone, they'll start winning it, win more games, and they haven't thought so. So maybe that is not guaranteed, but I also have
why did you think Sheffield United would start winning games?
No, gosh. Just because I thought it would just be like a confidence kind of like pressure off kind of thing, and didn't at all. Not win games, because they were never going to do that, but they're still as bad as they were before. But yeah, I think there's a chance that the players can come together in the week before the cup and be like, come on, let's show like the new manager, whoever that's going to be, what they kind of are capable of, and they're good enough.
A really good game or something.
Hmm?
You see like Dele Alli having a really good game, someone who was like...
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah, that'll be interesting. I hope Spurs lose, though. It'd be just
Yeah, I agree. Actually, I don't know if I agree. If it was Mourinho in charge, I'd quite like him to win a trophy, but I guess no.
Nah, I hate Spurs winning a trophy. It'd just be horrible.
Okay, so we've got about 2 minutes left. Sam's on Greenwood as a differential. Joel, look at the fixtures right now and give me a differential off the top of your head. So at least we can give a bit of FPL content. Greenwood's a really good shout. Leeds away as well. That's made for him.
Yeah, that is a good shout. Well, because Wilder's left, I might go for a Sheffield United player. I really don't know.
Go with Cavani, Joel. I think he's below 5%.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm quite tempted for Newcastle players, but they're playing Liverpool.
I did have a look through, and I thought Callum Wilson maybe, but he's 5.7. I don't know if that counts.
Okay, I'll have Cavani. He's 3.2.
But also, I thought another a bit of a rogue one. Willian Jose, he looked really good against Fulham, like really threatening. Should have scored, but the goal was ruled out. But it probably shouldn't have been. And then he scored last week as well. Yeah, so I think that could be, if you're doing really badly like Joel and you just need something, like a glimmer of hope, just bring in Willian Jose and triple captain him.
Yeah, he's got good fixtures as well. Burnley, West Brom, Brighton.
Okay, yeah. My mate doubled up on Wolves defenders on his wild card last week and he's got back-to-back clean sheets. Mine's going to be someone I went for earlier in the season, did well for me-ish. Actually didn't at all, but Daniel Podence, because Neto's out and he's actually really good and they got good fixtures. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll do a proper FPL episode soon. Hopefully everything's resolved by then and we can just focus on fantasy. I'm playing my wild card this week, but I've got no time to talk about that. Have a good week, fellas.
Bye.
See you now. Bye. Bye.